Hello, welcome to episode 3. My name is Sammy Ju, Asian American consultant at the Baptist State Convention of North Carolina. Today we have Pastor Jacob Park with us. And hello, Jacob, and thanks for coming. And
thank you
for being with us again.
It's good to be back.
And we're wearing the same clothes.
Yeah.
In episode 1, we got to know about your personal story. In episode 2, we got to hear about your doctoral work, your focus in the Asian American leadership development. And today we want to know about your ministry. So we're excited to know about that. Jacob, how long have you been in this church, First Korean Baptist Church?
I came in May of 2012, so it's been 5 years now.
Okay.
I had a full head of hair when I came too.
Oh really? Okay. Wow. What made you lose all hair? Well, we'll get to that. Let's start with the positive note. What God is doing at your church, at your ministry now?
I think He's doing a lot of things. I mean, season to season it changes. Mm-hmm. And it's just been a blessing to be a part of. Mm-hmm. I think the biggest blessing is just working with people who really, really are excited about growing in Christ and getting to places where they can share the gospel and make more disciples. And right now we have kind of a mentor program going on. We just started it last year, and every leader in our church and our ministry is required to have a mentee.
Okay.
Which they
everyone.
Yeah. Wow. Well, the leaders. Yeah.
Oh, the leaders.
And so,
okay.
And they're required to, you know, just really raise that, help grow that mentee in such a way where they too will come to a place where they're gonna take on a mentee.
Okay.
Some of our mentors have more than one mentee, but just things like that.
Okay.
The excitement around that.
Yeah, that's great.
Really, really cool to see. We have a lot of very, very well-educated people, intimidating at times.
But you're in the Triangle area,
yeah.
A lot of university, PhD level students,
yeah.
Right?
It's really cool just to see it when they start making connections in regards to the gospel and life. And a lot of challenges too, but just overall, it's been just such an amazing blessing and privilege to even be here.
Okay. What's your role in your church?
So I'm the English Ministries pastor. In our church, First Korean Baptist Church, we have two congregations. The Korean-speaking congregation.
That's a first-generation.
Yeah, first-generation Koreans, usually referred to as the KM, Korean Ministry. And the English-speaking congregation, which we refer to as the EM, or the English Ministry.
Okay.
Mostly of, you know, 1.5 and second-generation Korean-Americans. And more so lately, you know, we have quite a few non-Koreans as well.
Okay.
Mostly Asians.
Okay.
At this current time.
Okay. How many percentage of your congregations are non-Koreans?
Maybe about 20.
20%.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. So are they? You said they're mostly Asian Americans.
Yeah.
So are they originally from China or
Chinese Americans, a couple of Filipinos, Vietnamese.
Okay. Wow, that's good. Do you have non-Asians as well?
Yeah, yes we do.
Okay. Wow. So that's pretty much multi-ethnic.
I'd consider multi-ethnic if you have at least maybe 30% or so non-Asian. But, you know, we're not really there yet. Is it something we're aiming for? I would like to see it happen.
Okay.
Is it something that we're going to be really intentional about and say this is part of our mission statement? I just don't think that's what we're where we are right now. That's not our calling right now. Right now our calling is to be faithful to the gospel in preaching in context and meeting people where they are right now. As more people come in, that can change. And like I said before, it's always been changing. There's been seasons where we've been doing different things.
Right. You mentioned about the high profile students and leaders in your congregation. I mean, they are like really, really intelligent people.
Yeah.
But when do you see they are really committing to Christ, really humbling themselves, laying down all their pride and everything? But when do you see they really come to you know, dedicate a lot of their lives to Christ.
It's when there's an emergency.
Yeah, maybe there's a big...
Perfect timing and everything.
Let's move on.
Yeah, that is one area I think we could really grow in. You know, I'm not a traditional Southern Baptist. I didn't grow up in the whole, well, at least the ministry that I've done in the past. We haven't done like the traditional altar call where you raise your hand or you come forward or those types of things. But we have had quite a few baptisms where people are like, hey, wait a minute, you know, I've been walking this walk, but I've never made that actual public confession of faith. And so we do have quite a few baptisms in that regard. In terms of like new conversions, yeah, we definitely do have people that come to Christ, to know Christ in our church. And that has to be happening, obviously.
Yes.
That definitely has to be happening. But what we have a lot of are people that left the church after they finished high school. And then they come back
like
to church,
just
to kind of give it another chance. And they're like, hey, I kind of like this community. Or, you know, that bald guy up there, sometimes he makes sense when he preaches. Those types of things. The music here is really good. But aside from that, you know, it's mostly the community that they'll come. They'll realize, hey, you know, I was missing this growing up. I grew up in the church, but I never really experienced the genuine community of Christ. And they're finding people that come with the same type of questions about Christ, a lot of apologetic stuff. But that's obviously not the foundation of their faith. But you do, you have a lot of people coming back to church, or a lot of people who grew up in church, and you know, they're just looking for a ministry after they graduate from high school. And, you know, they found our ministry, or people that are new to the area. They've moved down from Jersey or, you know, the Northeast or out West, because the Triangle area has so many jobs for young professionals. And, you know, they're looking for a church. They've done it. They've church hopped. And they come and they're like, well, we like the community here. And we like the services. And, you know, they end up staying. So we do have a lot of transfer growth, which a lot of missiologists will say is not real growth. And I think, well, yeah, but they do need a home.
Right.
You know, they need a church home. And we have a lot of people coming back to church after a prolonged. And that's what really excites me, is
that's
like, wow, they're back. You know, praise the Lord. And, you know, new believers as well, which is always there.
Right. I visited several times to your ministry, and I noticed that a lot of young people, when they graduate from college, I mean high school, they still stay at church ministry, and they even invite their friends from different schools and colleges. I mean, that's very inspirational, because I've heard from other Asian American leaders and say, hey, Sammy, we're losing our students. And when they graduate from high school, they move on, they find another church nearby college campuses and all of that. But I want to ask a question. What is the secret of, in your ministry, of keeping the people after graduating from high school, and even inviting their friends to your ministry? What would that be? What would be the secret?
luck. Just kidding. Like, really, I don't think there's like an actual formula. I think a lot of it does have to do with the community. It's just really, really, we've been blessed to have just really gifted young lay leaders who really love Jesus, who are committed to the church, and that can put up with me.
Well, that's a blessing.
It is in many ways. You know, every leader has shortcomings, and I have quite a few myself. I would like to say, you know, the gospel is preached, and in the Bible we seek to preach it in its entirety, in terms of our Bible studies, in terms of the Sunday preaching, and all that goes on in the English ministry. Before I got to church, one example is every Friday night they would have food, and I think you were a big part of that, and that was great. But you know, for me, it wasn't about the food.
Yeah.
And when I tried to get rid of the food on Friday nights, there was an uproar. But you know, eventually got around to do that, and guess what? After the food stopped, the ministry grew.
Oh wow!
Like considerably, and I don't know if it was just the timing or whatnot, or we were just really focusing on small groups. We were really focusing on equipping these young people to reach out to their to their peers on campus and making it more about the community than it was about the food. And yeah, I mean, I think just the substance of the word. I really do. And this is not to exclude people in ministries, or if your church doesn't have like a gifted pastor or what, or teachers or those types of things, but it is very important. In all seriousness, that we need to dig into the word, and we need to know the word, and we need to be able to tell other people about what's in the book, but also do it in creative ways, in ways that people will be met in their context, understanding. I didn't go to Bible college. I'm Canadian. I was educated in the Canadian pagan, sorry Canadians, in the education system, and I went to a fairly decent college. I graduated with a degree in physics, and I worked in IT for a couple of years, and I think just a lot of that experience helped equip me, just personally as a pastor, for this particular time and place in this particular community.
So God's timing.
Yeah, this is God's timing and preparation.
Healthy community.
Yes.
And centered on God's word.
Yes.
All, you know, work together.
Yes.
That's great. Yeah. My last question would be, if there's one thing that you want to change in your current ministry, what would that be?
Oh, gosh. There's a lot. There's a lot of stuff. I think a lot of it starts with my own heart. I really wish I could be, I don't know if content is the right word. I'm a people pleaser. And so I wish I could kind of get rid of that aspect of me and just really put it all on the table and say, God, this is completely yours. And I'm on my way there, but it's it's not quite. So in my own heart, I think those types of things need to change. Overall, because we're so young people heavy, I think we're upwards of maybe 70%, maybe 80% college students or college age or just recent grads. And lately we have been getting a lot of married couples, praise God for that. But in terms of finances, it's just very difficult to do a lot of what we want to do. Because when college kids tithe, they don't. It's like they got to take money out of the basket, you know, because they're in the negative. But, you know, just those things are kind of petty, though. In all honesty, I think, we have this amazing community, these amazing gifted young people, and we have a senior pastor who's very supportive of the English ministry. And, you know, what could we change? Honestly, I would like to change the building. But that, again, that requires that financial stuff to happen. But, you know, I think we're in a really good place. You know, we could use more leaders. We haven't had a youth pastor for a very long time, and it's starting to show. But we have, you know, just very gifted lay people that are investing, and they just really love the people in the church. They love the community. They love the church. They love Jesus, and it really shows.
That's great. Well, Jacob, thank you for sharing. And this is the end of episode 3, and we want to see you again in episode 4 with the really wealth of wisdom shared by Pastor Jacob for Asian American leaders. Thank you.
Cool.